shy on people tonight. We're shy for a few reasons. Remember, when you go to prayer, hopefully I'll remember to mention this, but Bob Halabah's brother passed away, and the calling hours are right now, 7 to 9, and they were earlier this afternoon between 2 and 4, and then they're 7 to 9. And obviously you're here, so you're not going there, but there's probably some people up there. But anyway, tomorrow morning the funeral is at Nunn and Harper Funeral Home in Camden on Route 13. It's, boy, off the top of my head, I'd have to look again, but it's either 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. Take your Bibles to 2 Peter. And Brittany hit a manhole on the way in and blew a tire out on her car. So Josh went down to help her. I did that once. I was on South Jet. I'll never forget it because I blew both tires at the same time. Well, I had one spare. Nobody carries two spares in their car. You know, so it's like, oh, this is not pouring down rain, just like tonight. Couldn't see nothing. And hit a pothole. Poof, poof. Two tires. And that's an awful thing to have happen. But so she's down there. Josh went to get her. First, when I heard it, I thought she hit a man that was in a hole. Well, come to find out, she hit a manhole. But I'm like, what in the world? So that's where she is. So there's a lot going on here tonight, believe it or not. Well, let me say something. I want to tell you that I am glad to be part of the family of God. Amen. I preached on some of that Sunday night, and I got thinking about some of that, and I thought, man, what a blessing it is to be part of God's family. Now, I want you to notice here in 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, I will read the first four verses, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us, those of like precious faith, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, the family of God is called those that have obtained, and he calls us, like precious faith. The faith of Christians, that's what it's called. It's called precious faith. It's called precious faith because it's connected to the precious one. And the precious one is Jesus. Now, I want you to look here back a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter called Jesus precious three times. Look in chapter 2 and verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And then in verse 4, to whom coming as unto us, I just read that verse, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him should not be confounded. And then again in verse 8, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Jesus is precious. He's called, Peter called, I think chapter 1 and verse 19 here, his blood is called precious. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So his blood is called precious. He calls the trial of our faith precious. You might not call the trial of your faith precious, but Peter said in chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You say, well, I don't get that. Well, that's biblical. That's what Peter said. And then he speaks, go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 again. In verse 4, he spoke, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He calls the promises of God precious. To Peter, the Lord and all things that was related to him, they were precious. We sing a song, he is so precious to me. Is that true in your life? Is he precious to you? Now, I was going to, Melissa, I don't know how you did this, but I got to pick on you. It's a small crowd, so don't worry about it. So in my handwritten notes, I wrote, type in the song here. You know what she wrote in here? Put in. It meant put the song in there. I guess you were just typing. I don't know how many other mistakes were in, but I noticed that one earlier. I thought, whatever. So you have to look it up. He is so precious to me. But he is. Jesus is precious. Now when Peter, a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee, speaks of his faith, he uses the expression in verse 1, precious faith, obtained like precious faith. That's why I picked Romans chapter 4 to read tonight. Peter writes to others concerning the same faith that he has. And that would be those then that are of the family of God. Now, as you think of your faith in God, do you think of it as precious? Is your faith precious? Is Jesus precious to you? We speak of saving faith. We exercise faith to believe. We exercise faith to trust him. We speak also of the faith that we hold on to, meaning the body of truth that we have, and we say, this is our faith. We speak of our strong doctrines, that the things that are fundamental to the Christian faith, and we say these things are precious, but this is our faith. So we use this expression to summarize what we believe about God's word and the body of truth that we hold on to as believers, and we think this is our precious faith. This is our faith, and it's of like precious faith. We all have these things in common with all true believers that are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's not one faith for this group and another faith for that group and another faith for this group. If you don't have faith in Jesus, you don't have like precious faith. Now, Peter writes to those who have this precious faith. Now, he's an older gentleman. He writes of many wonderful things. He refers to himself, look in verse 1 again, he refers to himself as Simon Peter. Not just Peter, and not just Simon either. Simon was his given name. When he was a fisherman, he was known as Simon. When Andrew called for his brother, he called for Simon. Jesus named him Peter. You know it means either a stone or a rock. He spoke of Simon becoming a stone. That is somebody who is stable and steadfast in the faith. But if you remember much about Peter's life, he didn't start out that way. After the Lord was arrested, and the Bible says that Peter followed Jesus afar off, and then the damsel walked up and said, you're one of his followers. And he said, no, I'm not. And he denied him 3 times. So he wasn't always stable, and he wasn't always as strong and steadfast. So when he writes Simon Peter, when Peter writes that, he's referring to his old nature, Simon, and his new nature, Peter. Now, what else was he? He said, I'm a servant. He was a servant. He was a servant of the Lord, and he served out of love, and he served out of devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by saying servant, this is what he's saying. I've given my whole life to the Son of God, and I've given my whole life to the Son of God with joy and with delight. I've never met a person in my life, and I don't suppose I ever will, who said, I gave my life to Christ, and it was the biggest mistake I ever made.
That's right.
I don't think you'll ever meet anybody ever say that. Now, he was also, it goes on, it says, an apostle. Apostle means a sent one, but he was sent out by the Lord. He's writing to the same ones that he wrote to in chapter. By the way, there are no apostles today, but Peter was an apostle. 6 qualifications to become an apostle. You can't meet all 6 of them. Nobody can meet all 6 of them. Nobody has seen physically the resurrected Lord. That's one of them. So there are no apostles today, but he was an apostle. And if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 1, here's the group of people that he's referring to. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Those people were exiled. They were like Christians almost on the run. And he said, these are the same people that have obtained like precious faith with me. And then he said back in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now you think about something. The old fisherman used to live for fishing. Now he's living for the Lord. And now he's growing in grace. And now he's writing about precious faith. And with each passing day, the Lord meant more and more to him. Can I say, that's how it ought to be for us. Which each passing day in our Christian walk and in our life, the Lord ought to mean more and more to us. And that's the way it ought to be. Maybe when we were younger, We thought of what we might accomplish. You know, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do the other thing. But somewhere along the road, we met Jesus. And you know what he did? He changed our lives. You've heard me say this. He's changed our want to. And what we, maybe when we were younger, what we had aspired to do, now all of a sudden that really doesn't have the same appeal. And we don't really necessarily want to do that anymore. We want to do things that are pleasing to the Lord. And so now we sing, He is so precious to me. You are now a man or a woman of God. And what really matters isn't what you are doing here, but what you're doing here for eternity up there. Your life has changed. God changed your life just like he did Peter's. Now, think about this. What if Peter outfished everybody? Well, I mean, what if this guy, when he pulled in, and by the way, he was a strong man, because he was able to pull in a net by himself once. What if he had the biggest fishing business, and he had a lot of money, and he had this big old home someplace? All of that stuff is wood, hay, and stubble, and it all burns up. So now he writes about faith. And Peter is writing to other people like him, and I just want to make three quick statements about their faith. Verse 3 is the first one. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I want you to see the power of this faith. According to his divine power. There is power in our faith. There is divine power in this kind of faith. Now, Peter, I mentioned a second ago, Peter was a strong man. But he is writing about the power that only God has. Physically, he was a strong man. But now he's writing about divine power of his faith. He knew he could have this power in his life. He knew Jesus had power over nature. He heard him say one day to a storm, "Peace be still." He knew the Lord had power over illness and disease because he healed the Lord's mother-in-law. And he did that. He knew Jesus had power over demons. He watched the Lord cast demons out. Jesus breaks the power of Satan, and the Bible says that he came to set the captive free. He knew he had power over death, hell, and the grave, for he saw the resurrected Savior. He watched him as he raised Lazarus from the dead. He saw Jesus die, and he saw Jesus rise again. Then Jesus said to this that Peter knew, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Listen, there is power in our faith in Jesus. I guess Peter believed that. The other question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that there is power in our faith? That the faith that we have is what someone said recently, you got the real deal, man. What is your faith the real deal? Because if it is, there's power in that. The second thing I want to mention is in verse 4. And here it says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You know what there also is of this faith of like precious faith? Comes with promises. There's the promises of faith. Our faith comes with promises. You know some of the promises I like? Say stuff like this. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't care what I go through in life. I don't care about the heartaches or the sorrows or the problems. I know this. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I like that. I like the one that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I like the one in Romans that says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I don't understand everything that's happened in my life, and you probably don't everything understand that's happened in your life. But I know this, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I like that. And I also like what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him we say, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Here's a simple principle. If God said it, you can say amen to it because it's going to come to pass. You see, a promise from God is as divine assurance on which we depend. We depend on the promises of God. We hang our hats on the promises of God. So our faith comes with promises. Thirdly, and it's at the end of verse 4, it says, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Not only that, with this faith that we have, we get this divine nature. Clarence Sexton said one day, faith in God does not see its way through life. It's faith its way through life. on God's promises by believing the Lord. Peter had a promise. You remember Satan wanted to sift Peter? But here was the promise Peter probably hung his hat on. When the Lord told Peter, "But Peter, I've prayed for you." Could you imagine standing face to face with the Savior and Jesus saying, "Just so you know, I've prayed for you"? Do you know you have that promise? You say, "Well, where do I got that promise?" You got that in the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. After Jesus prayed for himself, when he prayed for his disciples, he said, "I pray not only for these, but for also for all those whom thou will giveth me." So he prayed for us. Now, Peter had a promise, and he was going to fall. We knew Peter fall because we're looking back on it. He was going to deny the Lord, but Jesus told Peter, "You're going to come through it because I'm going to pray for you." I have to believe that meant something to Peter. I have to believe it did. Our faith has power attached to it. It has promises attached to it. And then I want you to notice, who are the partakers of this faith? Whereby, let me read verse 4 one more time. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now, when we talk about this divine nature, that's not saying we become gods. I know that there's some cults that interpret that way, but that's not what that's saying. We receive this divine nature. Now, we still have the old nature. I didn't leave. I wish mine would have got up and left, but it hasn't got up and left. It's still there. I still struggle with it. But it gives us, what God does, he gives us a new nature to go along with it. He gives us a divine nature. We are partakers, those of us that are of the family of precious like faith. I said that wrong. Like precious faith, he's given us the divine nature. And what's that mean? That means God gives us an enabling to live the life that pleases him. Everything I need, beloved, to live a life for the Lord, God's given me. If you're a Christian, God has given you a nature that enables you to live a life that pleases him. If you're a Christian, you already have it. You need to understand that. Jesus did warn us in the mystery of the kingdom parables in Matthew chapter 13 that there would be a growth of what is called Christianity, but it isn't really Christianity. And that's why you see so many people make a profession of faith but never really grow, because they're not really true Christians. He said in verse 4, having escaped. In life, people want more and more things. But that should not be true for the one who has like precious faith. And now, having received this precious faith, and I suppose that's probably everybody here tonight, we have reason to live. The eternal reason to bring glory to his name. We can do what God wants us to do. And as we look back, some of us anyway, we're so different than what we were before we got saved. I look back on my life. If you would have told me when I was 20 years old, someday you're going to pastor a church, Pastor. They wouldn't call me pastor then, would they? "Someday, Jeff, you're going to pastor a church." I'd have laughed at him. I said, "That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life." But you know what God gives us? God gives us a divine nature. God gave Simon a new nature. God gave Simon a desire to serve him and to live for him because he's of like precious faith. The object of our faith, listen, and I'll be finished. The object of our faith isn't faith. The object of our faith is Jesus. I don't just believe in faith. I believe in Jesus. And we are the family. That's what we are. We are the family of like precious faith. And with it comes a divine nature, comes the promises of God. We've got all these things, and we have a powerful faith. That's what we have. Beloved, that ought to encourage you. Because if you're a child of God, you have those things available to you. Father, as we look at Peter and what you've done for him, Lord, we thank you. And because he writes this letter, these two letters actually, he writes to those who are of like precious faith. And we thank you for our faith. And we thank you for Jesus, the object of our faith. And we thank you for the power available. We thank you for the enabling available. We thank you for the new nature that we received once we trusted Christ as our Savior. We thank you for the power that's in it. And we thank you for those who are of like precious faith. And Lord, I pray that we grow together and we realize that we serve you together and we serve a resurrected, risen Savior, and we can do great things because you promised to give us all that we need for this life to bring glory to you. So we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. All right, let me read a few missionary letters. Let me stand and stretch a minute.